All right, hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. We are here with our 22nd episode, and coming off a TCU sweep, I'm joined once again by Carson and Nate. Nate, Carson, how are you guys today? TCU swept, Mavs are in the second round, Stars advanced. Good weekend for DFW sports.
Oh yeah, that was. I mean, and you got to include the Rangers winning against the Royals and taking that series too. I honestly, I thought we were going to get swept in that series.
Hey,
And
anytime
that's
the
what I
Rangers
predicted.
put up runs, it's a nice thing. It's like TCU's offense
Right.
right now.
Right. Yeah. No. But yeah, for DFW sports, really good.
Yeah, Nate, what about you? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. It was full of excitement, and it was good because leading into finals, I needed that excitement.
Yeah, they definitely delivered. There was no game this weekend that was short of excitement, and that's for sure. Let's go to talk about it a little bit. TCU swept Baylor. No one likes Baylor. Baylor doesn't even like Baylor. And TCU went in, needed to at least win the series going into the weekend with only one more conference series remaining. And not only won, but swept. And you could say swept in dominant fashion. Friday night's game was close until the ninth inning. Saturday was a good game that went to extras. And Sunday was just kind of a, hey, let's just see what happens. And that's kind of what happened. Nate, give me your. How are you feeling after the weekend? Your general takeaways before we dive into each game.
I mean, it was excellent all around. Our pitching looked good for the most part. Our hitting was electric. And Logan Maxwell seems to be back from his injury. He's making more rotation on that turn. I mean, our freshmen are just coming up clutch time and time again. And then Jack Arthur in the lineup, sophomore. I mean, we got a lot of young pieces in this, and we're going to continue to see this, and it's going to be hard to figure out what lineups what because we got so many players that could fit in this. So, but I really liked what I saw this weekend, and I think it's a turning point for this Horned Frog team.
Yeah, Carson, your general takeaways from the weekend?
Yeah, so I said last week that this was kind of a trap series for TCU. You know, you're going up against kind of a team that you beat in almost every category. And this team really showed their maturity. Like to go and sweep somebody in their house, that's always going to be impressive. It doesn't matter who you're playing. But I also think that that was necessary to give TCU a good shot at making postseason for the Big 12 and making postseason for the Field of 64.
Yeah, I think there's a few 100%. similarities that could be drawn from this team and last year's team with how the freshmen kind of stepped up whenever they
Right.
needed it. And you saw that last year with Silva and Bowen, and you're kind of seeing it right now with Sam Myers and James Brunson prior to his injury, and Ryder Robinson at second base. You're seeing a lot of it happening that they feel like they're in a good spot, right? Still got some things to work out as far as the rotation goes of who's going to be your Saturday, Sunday starter. But everything else looks good right now. And this is the TCU team we saw at the beginning of the season, right? And they kind of disappeared. And it looks like we've been saying for a while now that they're very, very close to turning a corner. And it looks like they're finally turning that corner. Let's go to jump into game one. TCU won 7-1. Don't let the final score fool you. It was not that big of a lead the entire time. TCU was winning 2-1 going into the ninth inning, and then had a 5-run ninth inning that propelled it to be a 7-1. Peyton Tolley had another Peyton Tolley masterclass performance on the day. 6.1 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 run, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. And it looked good. That's the Tolley you're used to seeing, and we have seen throughout the season so far. Hunter Hodges came in, got 2 outs. Ben Abel got a 2-inning save. Winning game one was just kind of, you had to set the tone for what you were going to do for the weekend. And yeah, it kind of looked like TCU's bats maybe were still kind of in that hot and cold zone. But I feel like that 5-run ninth inning, Nate, kind of set the tone for the rest of the weekend.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I feel like it boosted our energy, and you just saw it within the team. I mean, for us to hit a massive bomb in the ninth inning is huge. I mean, we pretty much had the game as long as we didn't make a pitching error and stuff, but that just sealed the deal and that took any confidence Baylor had. And that basically just suffocates a team. And I think we did that all weekend, especially game one. We suffocated Baylor where they had no options. And I feel like that was the key. And that's what the key's got to be moving forward is get our energy high and suffocate the other team.
So I kind of want to push back against that a little bit. So you're going into that ninth inning. It's 2-1. I don't know. I think Baylor hanging with TCU for eight innings, I think that's the reason that game two was so close. Like I think that Baylor competed really well, especially at the beginning of game two. And I think they were just pissed off about that. About that grand slam in the ninth inning. Don't get me wrong. That's huge for game one. I mean, that seals your game. But I do kind of think you have to look at game two a little bit and wonder, okay, TCU had 17 hits, 9 runs. Baylor had 8 hits, 7 runs. Okay, where does that come from? And I mean, it just, I don't know. I guess they just had big time hitting. But kind of like Nate said, TCU just kind of outlast him.
Yeah, I think you're kind of looking at a situation where DC only left one runner on base the entire game. One runner on base the entire game, which is not something we're used to seeing, right? Normally you see a lot of guys get left on base. TC only had 6 strikeouts on the day. They weren't really striking out. They walked 5 times. They were kind of loading the bases, but I mean, TC was hitting the ball. Like they were within reason for every single time to be able to score. Like they were making contact. It was just sometimes their contact was just a good play by the first baseman made, I think, 3 sliding grabs Friday night that took away base hits. Baylor played extremely well as far as their defense was concerned, and Mason Marriott was pitching really well for the Bears. That TCU was not, they weren't, it wasn't a close game because TCU was failing to hit. It was a good game because sometimes that's just baseball where you make contact and it ends up being an out.
Right.
I do think that TCU being able to outlast Baylor, like we've talked about, was huge as far as their mental standpoint. Because I think had the table been flipped, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but had the tables been flipped, I feel like maybe we might have been looking at a TCU sweep whenever that happens to you.
That's way too bright.
Yeah.
I should flashbang somebody who's watching this.
Yeah, you just you went real pale there.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it could have definitely gone the other way if either of those games would have flipped. And I think if game one would have flipped in Baylor's favor, I think you could have looked at TCU getting swept. But outlasting them was huge for the week, rest of the weekend.
I mean, that's kind of the philosophy that, we've talked about where, this weekend, I guess. Aside from this weekend, this TCU team has succeeded in just suffocating the other team, scoring 5 or 6 times in 9 innings, and then just having maybe a crooked number in there to seal the deal. But yeah, the long ball came back this weekend.
Yeah, we saw that with Jack Arthur. He had Friday night a triple off the batter's eye. That is such, I hate stadiums that have batter's eye that prevent home runs. It really bothers me.
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, and then he got it back though with the monster shot in the ninth inning for the grand slam that
Right,
really put the game out of reach.
ball don't lie.
Yeah, ball don't lie. He still came around and scored on the triple too after Ryder Robinson sac fly.
Yeah.
But Jack Arthur looked good, right? No Chase Brunson still in the lineup. He's still dealing with an injury. So we saw the outfield of Jack Arthur, Sam Myers, and Luke Boyers. Yeah, I think Friday night was just, that's TCU baseball, right? Especially on a Friday night start. You kind of expect a low scoring game because most of the time you got
Right.
both the team aces going on the mound that you kind of expect a 3-2-2-1 game like we saw. And I think I don't think there's anything really more to talk about besides Peyton Tolley is still the man, has been the man all season, and will
Yeah.
continue being dominant. Also, the first TCU pitcher since, I believe it's 2016, to reach 100 strikeouts on
That
a
Nick
season. Yeah.
Lodolo?
No, it was, I'm gonna be so mad because I don't remember. No, it wasn't Lodolo.
Howard.
I think it was Howard, maybe. I know he's also like the first like lefty to do it in a while too. So shout out to Tolley for being consistent on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis. I will say one thing is this is back-to-back weeks now where Tolley has walked more than three batters. So maybe something to monitor that we kind of hasn't been in that walking situation, but nevertheless, let's move on to game two. First extra inning games for TCU since the Globe Life Series, which was all the way back at the beginning of March. But TCU pulled away one 9-7. Hello, Zach Morris. He's the starting pitcher for your Saturday game. Didn't really see that happening, especially on the Saturday, especially with him and Louis being flopped. Klecker and Zach Coyer were absolutely disgusting out of the bullpen that game. They both
Dude.
finished with Cole Klecker had four innings pitched, six strikeouts, no hits, two walks. Zach Coyer, three hits, one earned run allowed, which was the home run in the ninth or the 11th inning, and six strikeouts himself. Ben Abelt came in and got the save back-to-back days, right? And we'll talk about him on the Sunday game as well. Logan Maxwell, first home run of the season in the first inning. Curtis Byrne and Anthony Silva also hit a home run. The Anthony Silva home run was the most perplexing one of was it out or not until the next day when I believe it was the Maxwell home run that was I couldn't tell if they robbed it or not. And then welcome back Brody Green. He came back. Didn't know if we'd see him again, but as a Brody Green truther myself, I was happy to see him back in the lineup playing first base without Carson Bowen in the lineup. Carson, Zach Morris, starting pitcher. What did you think about his performance?
I mean, obviously one inning pitched, six runs, five of them earned. It's obviously not the greatest start, and I think I would rather see somebody else, I think. Just because I think that Zach Morris does really well at coming in after somebody that's maybe throwing from the right side. So I don't really have any thoughts on it. I just think it was a bad outing. I think that he might not be a starter per se, but I still think that he's a guy that can eat four or five innings in a game if he really wants to.
Carson, do you agree with that?
Yes. What?
All right, Nate, do you agree with that? Sorry, Carson.
I was like, what?
I mean, I would agree. I mean, Zach Morris looks better out of the pen. But I mean, we're lacking options right now. If I had to guess who we'd put it back in, I'm saying it's gonna be Cademan Parker. I would like to see Hunter Hodges go for a start. Let's see where it goes. But I feel like Cademan Parker's bat has been just like kind of just missing errors. I like him as a starter.
Okay,
I think you
I'm gonna push back on both of your sentiments
well,
about
I think
Zach
you
Morris.
okay.
Zach Morris gets out of the first inning if Peyton Chatagnier doesn't make the error at third base and he turns the double play. He looks up before he grabs the ball that was hit right to him on his glove side. He would have turned two on it. Zach Morris gets out. He gives up three home runs in the second inning. Hey, you know what? Zach Morris was lighting up the zone. At least he wasn't scared. Like, I'll take that. At least he's not walking anyone, which is what his problem was at the beginning of the season. He looked good. Ball was flying this weekend, right? Like, I don't think he had a bad start. I think the box score tells a different story than how he actually looked.
Do you
He
think
gets
it
out
do
of. Go ahead.
you, do you think the error just kind of rattled him or something or?
Yeah, pretty much. I think it did. Because he gave up. I mean, the runs are even considered unearned runs. Because they came from an error. So they aren't even credited to Zach Morris on that. So I think it just kind of like, because even before that, when the batters reached, they weren't loud contact hits. It was like one was a jam shot that was a bloop shot right over Anthony Silva's head. The other one was just past Ryder Robinson's glove at second base. Like it wasn't that he was getting hit around, it was just untimely hits. To start the game, and then when you have an error and two runs come around, and now you're already pitching behind, Like it kind of rattles you a little bit, and I think it kind of set him back. Like I had no problem with his start, right? Like as crazy as it was, I wasn't like, dang, losing 6-1, like this game's over. Like I was just kind of like, hey, there's a chance if the ball's flying that well. Like Baylor wasn't a team known for home runs, so it shows you that the wind was flying out. Like I was okay with the start. I wasn't happy with it. I wasn't like, oh yeah, I want to see Zach Morris every weekend. But like we've talked about, when you're running out of options as much as they are right now, like he's not a bad start to give one more week to, especially with New Mexico State coming or New Mexico coming into town next week.
I mean, I'm okay with giving him another, but I think a good starter can kind of run into a wall like that, but then make an adjustment pretty quick. Like I get it, balls
Yeah.
flying out at Baylor. Baylor has some guys that can mash kind of in the middle of the lineup, but I think, I don't know.
This
But
was also his first start since getting hit by a comebacker.
right. No,
So,
there are definitely nerves there, which is why I'm saying give him a start against New Mexico. If he doesn't perform there, then you throw Plecker on Saturday, I think. I think you just flip Plecker and Morris right there. I think you have Morris coming after him.
yeah, I mean, that's a Sarlos likes to play matchups thing, so I don't really know what happens.
Right.
Nate, who impressed you most coming out of the pen though? Cole Klecker or Zach Coyer?
Boy, you better say his name. You
I'm gonna
better
say
say
Zach
his name.
Coyer.
Thank
I mean,
you. Thank you.
he looked absolutely electric, and
Gosh.
the energy was there for him. And besides giving up that solo shot, I mean, he looked stellar. And he got out of that first jam, and he was really able to look. I sent JD home. He was really able to settle down what he needed to. He looked like a veteran dude, and I loved it.
Can I get you to say that one more time, please? I just want to No.
Yeah. The whole thing.
No, but for real. Cole Klecker obviously looks great, but Zach Coyer has kind of been iffy, right? Like some of his starts, he looks as dominant as he looked against Baylor on Saturday. And then he has some starts where he can't find the strike zone. So it's just a tale of two Zach Coyers that you're gonna get. And I'm glad we saw the good one because when he's on, he's one of the most dominant pitchers in the bullpen. We've seen
Yeah.
that throughout the season. Ben Abelt, Carson, second save, back-to-back days, 3 innings pitched now on the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't think they were gonna throw him. I thought they were gonna go to maybe Hunter Hodges or just somebody that still has kind of that clutch, those clutch performances throughout the season. And I thought they're gonna save Ben to like try and go for a sweep on Sunday, but I think that's just me thinking into the future a little bit too much. But yeah, he looked really, really good all weekend. All
Yeah.
weekend, and he remains one of the best closers in college baseball. Top 10.
And let's go ahead and give another round of applause to Peyton Chatagnier with the 2-for-4 performance, looking good. Logan Maxwell, 5-for-6,
Dude.
by the way. And we're gonna talk some Logan Maxwell later.
Where's the
Don't you
apology?
worry.
Where's the
Yes.
apology?
There, I don't think there's an apology needed, and I'll tell you why. Don't you worry.
Oh my
You
God.
don't you
He you
worry.
said bench him.
I did. I
Broco's
did.
5 for 6. Yeah, I just don't think he's making an impact,
In my
man.
defense, I said bench him before the game started. That was a Saturday morning, Friday night conversation.
Yeah, but you doubled down on it throughout the weekend.
I did it because I don't
Yeah.
shy away from my takes.
Yeah.
Brody Green came in 1-for-6. Jack Arthur 1-for-3. Red Robinson 0-for-5. But Curtis Byrne 3-for-5. Luke Boyers 3-for-6. Sam Myers and Anthony Silver also 1-for-6 on the day. All right, game three. Frogs are going for their first sweep since the end of March, when they swept Houston. 6-run first inning. Maxwell hits his second home run of the weekend and his second home run of the season. Luke Boyers also hit a 2-run home run in the first inning, and Carson Bowen hit a 2-run home run in the first inning. Bats came out hot and then kind of quieted down a little bit. Luis Rodriguez was your starter for that day. 5 innings pitched, 7 hits allowed, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, no walks. He looked good. And then the Bullpen kind of came in and let him down a little bit. Storm Hierholzer only came in, got one out, walked three straight batters. Caden Parker came in, 1.1 innings pitch, three hits allowed, three earned runs, one walk, two strikeouts. Chase Hoover came in, 1.2 innings pitch, three hits, one earned run, one strikeout. And then Ben Abelt, for the third straight day, got his third straight save. I mean, the offense was very hot to start the game and then significantly cooled off. Six out of their 10 runs were scored in the first inning. Carson, does that concern you slightly, or is it, you know what, they put up the runs, I'll take it?
It doesn't really concern me, just because I think I think we've already seen kind of a lack of consistency throughout the game from the lineup. But I mean, they're still scoring in three out of the remaining eight innings, totaling four runs. So I mean, it's not the, I don't, you know, they're not going completely cold. They're still getting hits throughout the game. So I really don't have a problem with it. For the pitching staff, I do have a problem with kind of letting Baylor creep back into the game. That's something I do kind of see as a red flag. But props to the hitters for closing it out in the ninth inning with two runs to kind of seal it.
Yeah. Nate, Louis, I mean, that was his best start in what, 3 weeks that we've seen from him? Does that give you the confidence back that you still want to keep him as a rotational starter, or are you still maybe, hey, let's look at other places?
I mean, you almost got to leave him in there. I mean, we have no other options. I mean, we can't fill two spots. And Louis has looked decent, even though he's got shelled around a few times. I mean, he still is finding the zone. He's just letting a few of his sliders just stay too far in the zone and allowing too many hits. What the numbers that really impressed me was the zero walks. I mean, that's what needs to happen. We can't have useless runners on the bag and resulting in runs usually. And I think he did a good job, and I think he proved that he still got it. And I think he can, I think it took a little bit of stress off of him this weekend. So I really enjoyed watching him, and I think we got to move forward with him.
Carson, we saw a lot of pitchers this weekend, but we didn't see Mason Bixby. Do you think that was just a matchup thing, or maybe there's something deeper to it after his recent performances?
Recent performances, he's kind of struggled besides two of the innings against K-State. So it doesn't really bother me. I think it was just kind of a matchup thing. I do kind of want to speak on Louis, because I think with him, I've said this before, if Louis gets out of the inning where things can blow up, he's dominant for the next four innings at least. Like, and I feel like that's something that you have to have as a starter. Like, that's a quality that you need to have, and that's quality that the TCU pitching staff desperately needs, is like the ability to rebound from giving up one or two runs.
Yeah, I think we've seen that a lot, where Louis has that first or second inning where he struggles immediately, and then it's if he gets it back. When he gets it back, he's still going to give you five more shutout innings, right? Whatever, regardless of what happened in that first or two innings. But if he can't control it, then he's pretty much a loose cannon and could go out for more earned runs. Nate, I know you're passionate somewhat about this take. Anthony Silva, 153 batting average on the weekend. And Sunday, we saw him the most frustrated that he's looked all season after a few strikeouts. What do you do with him? You can't, I personally don't feel you could take him out just because of the defense he provides, but I mean, he's still hitting leadoff. Like, are we trying maybe another batting order change, or?
I mean, we've already done that. I disagree. I think I'm not saying permanently take him out of the roster, but I think take him out for at least this next series, the whole series. I feel like his hitting is outweighing his defensive matters. There's enough defensive players, especially with Brody Green being back, hopefully. You could switch over. You could switch Brody to second base, and we can work with that and go from there. But his hitting is horrible right now besides that home run. I mean, it's sad to see because he started off so hot and I want to see him succeed. But right now, when we're trying to make a playoff push, he is hurting the team because he's not stepping up.
Yeah.
So,
One
real.
thing real quick before you do that is
Go for it.
keep in mind there is only two more weekend series left in the season, right? That you're guaranteed to play. So I think I feel like it's kind of hard to make drastic roster changes right now. But Carson, go ahead.
So, like, there's no debate. Silva, like, you can't take his athleticism away from shortstop. Like, that's like, he is the best there. He makes plays, he makes plus plus defensive plays. Right now, what is, do you guys know your like dream lineup for this TCU team?
We got a question about that later. Don't worry. We'll
Okay,
talk about it later.
then I'll save it. I'll save it.
All right, TCU swept Baylor. Without further ado, let's dive into it. Let's go into questions.
Let's get nasty.
All right, Nate, take the gloves off. So let's duke it out. So a conversation happened this
Yeah.
weekend in our group text where I asked the question. I said, "Hey, no Chase Brunson again because he's injured. What happens when he comes back? Who do you sit?" And I suggested that you sit Logan Maxwell. Now, Nate vehemently does not agree with that take, and Carson is
It's a
Maxwell's
terrible
biggest
take.
fan.
It's a terrible
So
take.
I would like you to persuade me from why we shouldn't bench Logan Maxwell.
Why should we bench Logan Maxwell when there's people hitting worse than him? And at least he's drawing some walks. Anthony Silva's flat out swatting at flies.
Are there people hitting worse than him? As far as we're concerned, your options are
I
Jack
sent
Arthur,
you the statistics.
Jack
I
Arthur,
sent you the
Sam Myers.
statistics.
I have the statistics pulled up right here, right? In the month of April. This is for the entire month of April.
I'm looking at overview.
No. There's no overview because we need to look at the most recent. Your overview is going to be skewed because if you look at your overview, Anthony Silva is not the worst hitter on the team. But for right now, he is. Logan Maxwell in the month of April is hitting a two six has a 263 batting average. Take out the Kansas State series where the offense started turning around. He has a 214 batting average. Sam Myers, 420 batting average in April, 410 without Kansas State. Luke Boyers, 267 batting average in April, 272 without Kansas State. Chase Brunson, 324 batting average in April, 352 without Kansas State. And Jack Arthur has a 352 batting average in April and a 285 without Kansas State. Every single one of those players that I listed has a higher batting average than Logan Maxwell from the week or for the month of April leading up to before this weekend series against Baylor. Every single one of those players. So then tell me how Logan Maxwell is one of our best hitters that we can't take out when I just listed four different players with a higher batting average than him.
Because he's been hurt. I mean, he can't transfer on the weight. He's been hitting the ball. It's just been going straight to people.
Exactly. Let's give him a weekend series off.
I
If
mean, there's
Chase
no
Brunson
reason to
is
now. He
back.
hit 5 for 6. Chase Brunson's back. There ain't no question. We're just holding him off because Jack Arthur decided to go hot.
I'm just saying that if someone has to be replaced because you want an outfield of because defensively an outfield of Chase Brunson, Sam Myers, and Luke Boyers is probably your best defensive outfielding, right? Jack Arthur is a great fielder, but Sam Myers has a little bit more speed than him and has shown in left field that he plays it well. That I'm saying if we need to put those three in the outfield and then we need a DH spot because that's where Maxwell is right now. Well, hey, Jack Arthur's better batting average than him. He's hotter right now, right?
I mean, you
Now,
can't really say that he's
I'm
hotter.
not saying bench him. Now, wait, you just said Jack Arthur decided to get hot.
He is hot, but I wouldn't say he's hotter. He didn't go 5 for 6.
You're right. He did it.
Logan Maxwell looked healthy, and he's finally pivoting on that leg, and I think you're going to see him start to hit the ball consistently. I don't think it's the time to take him out. I think if anything, one of these guys is going to have to man up and play shortstop, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but you don't put someone at a key defensive position such as shortstop when you're unsure of how well they're going to play the position. You just don't do that. Not with 2 weekends left in the series.
I mean, with New Mexico, it's a brush off series. You got to give.
That's an RPI series. You
I
need that.
mean, I mean, you need it, but we're gonna win it.
We gotta hope so.
That's how confident I am in that.
Carson, chime in at any point.
I've kind of been observing, just because the reason that I don't think you can take Maxwell out is because he's a veteran on this team. Okay. And you can kind of make the same argument for Anthony Silva. Silva's a guy that's been there, done that, been all the way to the College World Series and succeeded a lot in the College World Series games that he played. But I don't know. I just think that Maxwell is a guy that is a leader on this team. And I don't know. I think it depends on if Chase Brunson comes back and he's the hot hitter that we knew him as. Who's to say that he's not going to come back and go 0-for 3 times in a row? We don't know. With Maxwell, we at least know what we're getting, I think. I think he's one of the most consistent hitters on the team.
Yeah, the lowest batting average out of the four I listed, but go on.
That's in the month of April. You're looking at in the month of
we've
April.
Only played one. It's, we've only played it's one month. We've only played 3 games since then. It's one month.
Okay.
The season's only 3 months.
I'm looking at the whole season. Who's going to bail you out of situations?
Right now, Luke Boyers, because he became a man amongst children, apparently.
Different positions, though.
There's a stat that I want to find as well, and that's runners in scoring position. I want to know what the average is between Chase Brunson and Logan Maxwell, because that, I think, is not a deciding factor, but I think that weighs into it. Because I think both of them have been decent at it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a website? I couldn't find it on any of TCU's stats.
I mean, you could look at WRC Plus and WOBA and stuff like that. They have listed, but I don't think you'll see a stat with runners in scoring position.
Like that. Like that's what I want to find. I'll investigate a little bit, but not enough to stop the podcast.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling for Logan Maxwell's shop. I'm just saying if Chase Brunson comes back and Kirk would rather have Chase Brunson in center field because he's better there defensively than Sam Myers, then
is he?
I'm not. I don't know. That's a Kirk Sarlo's call. I don't think he is.
From what I've seen, Myers is better.
Yeah.
As far as
Brunson
as,
makes a lot of mistakes.
Brunson doesn't make a lot of mistakes. It seems like Myers just gets a better jump off the ball.
I feel like Brunson has more range, though.
But he's let a few go over his head this season, and he's dropped a few balls.
That was early in the season.
Well, no, that last one that went straight over his head, he misjudged it. That was a catchable ball.
Was that the Texas series where the wind was disgusting?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could have gotten there, though. He just.
I give. That wind was awful. Luke Boyers even had a misjudged ball in right field, like, and that man hasn't misjudged a ball since he was probably 8 years old. Like,
if I'm going between Sam Myers though, and Chase Brunson, I feel like Sam Myers looks a little more comfortable back there. Chase Brunson still looks like a little bit of a high schooler, just kind of like mentality wise. I think he's growing. I think he's been great, but I just think Sam Myers almost looks like a veteran guy out there.
I just think that TCU is in, don't get me wrong, a really good position where you have to have the options and the conversations about who you want where. But someone's going to lose a little bit of confidence when they get benched. And I don't know if that's a Chase Brunson is going to be like, dang, I really, like, I'm not playing because I got hurt, which is unfortunate and that sucks. Do you bench someone who is performing well right now because your center fielder's back? Like, it's a very unfortunate position to be in, and it's an uncomfortable conversation to have about who we want to take out if you even want to put Chase Brunson in. But, like, it's a conversation that has to happen, right? Like, you're coming up to the most important time of the season. Like, you got to have an idea of who you want where.
So, I think one thing that we're not thinking about is how is this team playing right now? With the lineup that's there and the defense that's out there, this team's playing pretty good. I don't know if you can mess that up by bringing another guy in. I'm a big team dynamic guy. I will always be one of the biggest team dynamic guys. But I can't justify putting Brunson in over Maxwell when Maxwell is a veteran on the team. He has good overall hitting stats. He hit a slump in April, and he's just now coming out of it.
I don't know. I mean, that leads us to our next question is, what's your ideal lineup? Like, would you rather have the Saturday lineup that had Brody Green in there and no Carson Bowen? Would you rather have the Sunday lineup that had Carson Bowen back? Like, what's the lineup you want to see, Nate? Like, what do you want to see?
So Carson Bowen really showed his true colors that he still has it. And I think that was because we tried out Brody Green. And I think he said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute here. I still got it. And so I'm gonna go with Bowen on first. Second base, I'm gonna go with Robinson. We're sticking with Robinson. Shortstop, Silva for the time being. Third base has gotta be Chet. Catcher is gonna be Byrne. Left field, I'm gonna switch Boyers over there. That's where most of them get over there. Right field is gonna be Sam Myers. Center field is gonna be Jack Arthur. I want to see Jack Arthur in center field.
Okay.
And then DH is gonna be Logan Maxwell.
Carson, I assume
Jack
you have a
Arthur.
little bit of defensive positioning substitutions, but is
Jack
that
Arthur
about
at
the same
center.
one? Is that about the same lineup you have or you'd like to see?
So I did two things. That's about the same for like an overall lineup defensively. I'm keeping Myers in center and I'm sticking Arthur back in left. But yeah, the rest of that is pretty much the same. So I did the dream lineup, and this is just strictly hitting. Chase Brunson, Sam Myers, Logan Maxwell, Curtis Byrne, Luke Boyers, Jack Arthur, Carson Bowen, Ryder Robinson, and Peyton Chatagnier. The defense, however, does change because I've got Silva at short. I can't justify taking him out. So he would probably just go in for Brunson, I guess.
Yeah, it's a
It's a good problem to have, I think, for TCU's bench, because we have guys that we can play there. That the hitting might outweigh the drop off of defense a little bit. But again, team dynamic, veteran. I'm not sure that you can take him out.
when it's the uncomfortable conversation of if you can sit Maxwell for a weekend and let him rest up so that way you can play him back in left field and that opens up the DH spot for something
Oh,
else.
if he's not at 100%, absolutely. You rest him
Like,
for this series and then you let Brunson try and get back into it just to make sure he's still good.
yeah, because if you can throw Maxwell back out there in left field, like I know Jack Arthur's playing well, but like Maxwell's a good left fielder. That opens up a DH spot for the Brody Green type, the Jack Arthur, Dallin Leach, like Camden Sauce. Like you got players you could throw in a DH role that is being taken by Maxwell because he's not 100%.
Right.
So
That's saying that if he's not 100%, we don't know what really
yeah.
where he's at right now.
I mean, he was running well this weekend.
He was.
Yeah, I think it's just a big issue. All right, next question. Sarlos alluded to the fact Sunday that we are going to see Cole Klecker back in the rotation. Assuming, he's going to be your Saturday or Sunday starter. Carson, do you want Lewis back out on that other day, starting opposite of Cole, or do you want someone else?
You saying Lewis just reminded me. I've said the name Louis, which is not his name. It's Lewis, and
I almost said it myself
I've said
too,
that
and I
like
had to.
four times this up. God, I keep doing that. I think you stick Plecker on Saturday, but you keep Lewis on Sunday. I think you go lefty, righty, lefty.
Okay. Wait.
I'm sorry. Wait, did I even answer your question? I don't know if I did.
You said lefty, righty, lefty.
Toley, Plecker. Lewis.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why that was switched in my head.
Wait.
No, Lewis is right.
No, lefty, righty, right. What am I doing? Oh my
Yeah.
God. No,
I was like, where did the other lefty
yes.
come from?
I was trying to think of matchup, but we don't have that.
Nate, is that what you want to see for the weekend, or? I know you mentioned Caitlin Parker earlier.
I mean, I hate putting Cole Klecker back in the starting position because of how well he has performed for us in relief. And
I do too,
I
but
think right now we really need relief pitching. And I mean, you see that you can't turn to Hierholzer. You're struggling to turn to Chase Hoover. I mean, it's hard. That's why I would like to see if Caden Parker could turn it on and at least go three innings, three solid innings, and then Klecker comes in. And then, or even Hampton. I mean, we haven't seen Hampton. I mean, somebody who can go mid innings, three
DC
to
only
four.
needs relief pitchers because their starters on Saturday and Sunday haven't been performing well.
Yeah, but
If
Klecker has
Klecker
that
does
struggler
what
name.
if does that job that he's been doing out of the bullpen as the starter, that's way more beneficial to the team than if he had did it out of the bullpen.
100%. I would hate for a
Like,
good game to go bad.
don't get me wrong, I understand what you guys are saying. What he's done in the bullpen has been nothing short of miraculous of how he's turned his season around. But he does that to start a game. Gives you five, six solid innings like that, that is way more valuable than him giving you four innings out of the pen in relief after a Zach Morris start that went bad, right? Do you
I
take it?
still, I
Go
still
ahead.
think you, I still think you give Morris one more start. 'Cause I mean, like JD said, that's his first start since getting an 110 mile an hour line drive to the head. Like, there's gonna be a little bit of nerves there, no matter what.
Nate, I think you were gonna say something. If not, we'll
Yeah, I
move on
mean,
to our last question.
no,
But
I
go
was just
ahead.
gonna say, I don't think you take, I just don't like taking his mojo away. He's gotten used to being a relief pitcher, and I feel like he's more comfortable in that position. And I feel like he's just a natural born relief pitcher. And but I mean, I don't mind seeing him start, but let's say that goes bad. Does that take all of his mojo that he had away from relief pitching and ruin him for the rest of the season?
I think Klecker's just too valuable to not be used for sure in a weekend series, right? Like we saw him like against Tech where he was only used as a closer really. Like he's too valuable of an arm, especially for right now, that he needs to at least for sure have cemented innings happening because of what he can provide. All right, last question. Carson, was I naive for waking up this morning and hoping to see TCU in the top 25, like at that 24-25 ranking?
Yes.
Okay. I woke up
I'm
and I
not
was
gonna
like, there's a
elaborate on
chance. There's a chance. Like they've been
Yeah.
playing well. They're preseason projected top five. They kind of look like the team you thought.
No, I think you also have to take into account who they played this weekend. It's Baylor, who I don't think is in the top 60 teams in the nation.
Yeah, but DBU still ranked, and DBU hasn't looked good. TCU swept DBU on the season series.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. TCU went on such a hard, like, just lose, 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 win, lose, lose, win, lose, lose. Like, I feel like it would take TCU sweeping West Virginia to be ranked in the top 25.
Yeah, I actually think if we just win these last two series, I think we'll be ranked.
Well, do they have us? I know that there's a website that does like the top 40. Do they have us in that?
Yeah, I think we are at, I think they said we were 35.
Yeah, I just don't see a 10 team jump if that's where it is. Here, I'm looking at RPI right now. So TCU currently sits at, oh wait. Hey, 28.
Okay, we're gone up. Last week it was 35. I'm pretty
I would
sure.
like to change my answer.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. I'm not gonna change my answer. I do still think it's a little naive, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
It's not as naive as you thought, now,
It's
is what
not,
you want to say.
No, I thought it was gonna be a massive, like, JD, what the hell are you thinking, dude?
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know that we were 37 before that,
Yeah.
which I'm not really sure why we're giving 9 RPI spots to sweeping Baylor.
A lot of it has to deal with other teams who lost on the weekend as well, that they RPI drops.
Where does Baylor sit? I want to know where they sit.
Not on the list.
Good.
Let's see where Baylor sits for their RPI. I'm looking it up right now.
Trying to find them. Wait, what? Did I? I had their stats.
They're 116. Nope, 134.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
Ah,
exactly what
they're
they are.
there. Good.
It's a really bad RPI.
They were 116. They dropped.
Okay, so
Yeah.
yeah, I mean that does kind of tell you who TCU played this weekend. Don't get me wrong, it's a great sweep just for confidence and for Big 12 standings, but we do kind of have to put an asterisk on this entire series for, I think, hitters, because Baylor has one of the worst pitching staffs in the Big 12, if not the nation.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? No, not in the nation. There's a team that's 0-36. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, that is.
That's a sad case. That's a sad case. I hope they get it. I hope they get there first. I
All
really
right, all
do.
right, all right. Hey, let's go around the Big 12 real quick. All right. TCU has moved up to 8th in the conference standings, 13 and 14 in conference play. Still below 500, but way better. One thing to keep in mind is TCU is the only team left. That or is the only team that has played 27 conference games. Everyone else is at 24.
Yeah.
So TCU has played three more conference games, which makes this weekend, when TCU does not have a conference series, really important for watching records, because currently TCU is 13 and 14 with a 481 percentage. But all it takes is Kansas State, Cincinnati, Kansas dropping, two games or a game that. It makes it could TCU could potentially be a top five conference in the conference standings.
Yeah.
So, it makes this weekend's baseball watching or scoreboard watching really important. This weekend, though, here's what happened around the Big 12. Cincinnati took 2 of 1 or 2 of 3 over West Virginia. Color me shocked. Kansas State 2 out of 3 from Kansas. Texas 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma State. Oklahoma swept Texas Tech, and UCF technically swept Houston. They only played two games. The Sunday game is canceled due to weather, and TCU swept Baylor. Are we all in agreement that, I guess, well, I don't even know. Nate, which one stands out to you the most? Because I don't know which one stands out to me the most.
The Tech series.
Oklahoma sweeping
Yeah.
Tech.
I mean, I know Oklahoma's a solid baseball program that ranked and everything, but Tech should be better than what they are right now. And it's really shocking me that they have dropped this many games. I think TCU ruined them, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay. Carson, Cincinnati over West Virginia. Biggest shock to you over the weekend?
Are you asking if that was the biggest shock?
I'm asking what you think of the biggest shock was. With how big of a JJ Weatherholt fan you are, I figured that was your biggest shock.
Yeah, so I mean I think OU sweeping Tech I think is the most surprising overall for like everybody, just because everybody kind of thought Tech would put up more of a fight and maybe take one game. But yeah, the most impressive for me is probably that Cincinnati and West Virginia series, just because that opens the door for, TCU to, do something against West Virginia, I think. West Virginia obviously is going to make the tournament. There's nothing on the line really for them in that final series, except for if Oklahoma loses out or something, and there's a chance to go steal the title. But yeah, Cincinnati's kind of been an up and down team all year, but that's a big series win for them going forward.
Yeah, Tech's now at in the bottom four teams, so they're at risk of not making the Big 12 playoffs. I will say the biggest shock to me was not Texas winning 2 out of 3 against Oklahoma State, but it was Texas being in a position to sweep Oklahoma State, winning the Friday and Saturday game, and potentially going for a sweep. Like if Texas had won the Sunday game and that's the rubber match and that's how they won 2 out of 3, then I think I would be like, not that big of a shock, but Texas almost being able to sweep Oklahoma State kind of shocks me more, especially with Oklahoma State playing as well as they were in Texas. Texas kind of looks like they're turning it around. Like they're 15-9 in conference play right now. Like they're a lot better than their record indicates,
Yeah.
and a lot better than the fans think they are. So,
I mean they're kind of the I mean, they just kind of do the same thing as TCU, and they get hot at the right time. I think the past 2 years, Texas has made a push into a regional or made a super regional just because they figured out their hitting.
Yeah. I mean, we're down to 2 weeks left in the season. TCU has no midweek game this week, only one more midweek game in general, and it's Baylor. And they've got seven more games left on the season. Like, you're coming down to the wire. But all right. Anything else you guys want to add?
Think I'm good. I think West Virginia, you would definitely like to win the series, just to kind of solidify your spot. But I don't think you necessarily have to because you've got tiebreakers over Texas Tech that's below you.
Well,
Yeah.
in the next seven games, we're only losing a game. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
And it's the midweek game to Baylor that doesn't matter.
No. They suck.
No.
Doesn't matter.
All right. That'll do it for this episode. We will be back this week for a little preview on New Mexico. But other than that, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.